Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So glad to have you listening today. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, today's a really big day. I'm so excited to welcome my friend Dr. Troy back to Faith Radio. We're going to talk about health and the healing process. We'll take your phone calls, your texts, your emails today. Phone lines are open right now, 877-933-2484. You can call or text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. A quick caveat, Dr. Troy isn't here to diagnose you over the air. His advice is not at all meant to take the place of your doctor. Always consult your own doctor before making changes to your health program. We're going to talk about the health and the healing process, answer general health questions about nutrition, immune issues, gut health. We're going to start out our conversation in a minute here about our genetic predispositions. Doesn't that just weird you out? I'm so excited. I must be a nerd because I'm super excited about what he has to say about this. We'll get him on in just a moment. A quick announcement. If you are an aspiring author, we want to see you. We've got an amazing conference planned coming up July 12th, 13th. Information is on our website, myfaithradio.com, but there are a limited number of one-on-one faculty appointments. In other words, when you pay to attend this conference, and I just want to say other conferences at this level, with this level of faculty, usually run somewhere about $1,200 to attend. This ticket is $250, very affordable, okay? And with that price, if you're able to sign up, I think the first several hundred get a one-on-one appointment with a faculty member, maybe first 500. So check it out on our web, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He loves God. He's passionate about health and the healing process. He's a good friend. He actually is my doctor, but he's even a better friend to me. And I think he's really one of the most brilliant people I know. So, and I know lots of people. I know he's about to tell me I don't know anybody. But Dr. Troy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I knew it was coming.
Yes.
You got to get out more, right?
I do. Yeah, you do. Yes. You need more friends.
Yes. I'm happy to say I have plenty of friends, and yes. I still think you're amazing. So we love to start, as you know, I've interviewed you so many times over the years, start by talking scripture. Wonder if you have a passage that you can share.
I'm going to share Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Talk about that.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit today about genetic predispositions and a little bit about how our body works in different ways. And for me, this just speaks to that. The two worlds that I live in is basically scripture and just following Christ and in science. And a lot of people think that they're just different. And the reality is, for me, I found Christ through science. I started with science and became a believer after I had the science knowledge. And it just led me, when I was looking for truth in the science world, it just led me to Christ. And so I see every time I read scripture, I laugh out loud at how it reminds me of what I just read in my science journals or when I'm researching something. And today, just the theme of being renewed, you'll probably hear quite a bit about that as I'm talking about the health-related topics. Because that's really what we're doing, is we're looking to renew ourselves, renew our thoughts, renew our body day in and day out in spite of all of the extra stressors and traumas and just life challenges that come at us. And I love, absolutely love reading about health. It's a passion of mine and how the body works. But it always brings me back to just a sense of gratitude and awe about how God made us and how what I read in my health books can be summarized in one sentence in scripture or something I hear in church or just truth. Truth is truth, and it has different layers, and I love making those connections and talking about them at the same time. And that's why I love being here, because it's one of the few areas where I get to talk about both and people are excited.
Yeah, and merge together. You're so right. Excuse me. Sorry about that. You know, when you think about when we are made new in Christ, old things pass away, all things are made new. We go from being slaves and prisoners to heirs of God, grafted into a royal family line. The old is gone, the new has come. But it's even more far-reaching than that. If that were all it is, that would be enough, that our eternity is secure, that God has put his spirit in us. But as you and I have talked so much, and I've explored too over the years, the renewal goes at such a cellular level, I don't think we can fathom. But if we don't have an expectancy around it, we're not going to look for it, believe for it, or make choices to cooperate with it.
Absolutely. And that's part of the process. Every time I hear about new science or we understand a little bit more about how things work, it just helps renew my faith in what I already know. And because of what I know when I read scripture, that's why I kind of smirk and laugh and just think, oh man, God is so good. And there was a time when I didn't know God as well as I do right now. And I look back and think that, you know, it was about me learning stuff and the intellect and all that. And it kind of makes me feel silly. It humbles me to read that now, thinking that I knew what I was talking about when I was helping people because I could read this research. And so it helps create a good humility. I will joke and tell people I'm the best, but still, it does truly actually give a really, really big dose of humility just by understanding just how wonderfully we're made and just understanding just a tenth of it. The more I read about how the body works, the more I realize I really don't know truly how it works. And I can't wait to be enlightened by God about all the stuff I don't know, because I do love understanding how we're made.
We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It is just quite a marvel. Let's start by talking about the lymph system. Explain the lymph system, its process in our body, and our choices, how our choices impact the health of the lymph system.
Yeah, so the lymph system, basically, it's literally Greek for fast-flowing river or fast-flowing water. So think of like a river system in our body, and it's just flowing. And this is where a lot of our garbage gets dumped into. So as you move throughout the day, your body uses certain things for fuel. And just like a car uses gas, there's exhaust afterwards. The exhaust from our daily activities goes into the lymph system. Also, if you recall when we're kids and the kids have a cold or infection, their lymph nodes swell up. That's an immature lymph system, basically, learning to develop. So our immune system lives there as well. So the garbage within our body and the immune system all works to fight off infections and dumps it in this fast-flowing river that then takes it to the liver to help break it down like a recycling center and get it out of the body. So it helps cleanse us and renew us each and every day. Hmm. And what I liked about when we talked a little bit about what we're going to talk about here, I mentioned that there's a different part of the immune system or lymph system in the brain, and you guys should see how excited Susie gets about things like this. She's like, what?
You're kidding me.
We have to talk about that. So that's what we're here to really discuss is more the next discovery, if you will. And I'm talking more about the glymphatic system, and it's a part of the immune system or lymph system that really helps with our brain and spinal cord. And funny enough, we really haven't understood this until the last couple years. So 2015 is really when we started to understand it even more. And it's made from cells, our own immune cells that protect our brain, form these tunnels that help take away the metabolic waste of the brain. If it didn't, our brain would fill up with garbage. And so it's actually quite extraordinary how this glymphatic system works and removing the toxins out of the brain. And the best thing about it is, and you know this is a passion of mine, it works primarily while you're sleeping. It doesn't work when you're awake. So the glymphatic system is working when we're at rest, when we're actually in a sleep state. And for people who don't sleep, it means your immune system is not detoxifying the brain.
Wow.
So that's a big, big part of it.
Sleep is such a big deal on so many levels. We maybe have to devote a whole show to sleep another day. I know that is a great passion of yours. if I remember a little bit of what I've read, if this is in the same context, correct me if I'm not wrong, but if I'm wrong, but the idea of the cleansing that happens in the brain, our cooperation with that is maybe fasting at night, maybe not eating right up to bedtime. Isn't that right? Because to give our brains the capacity to kind of self-cleanse, they've got to not be working. Our bodies have to be not working on other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Every night we get into this rest and digest state, and that's when our digestive system and our immune system become renewed. So if you're eating, you're actually not allowing that to happen. And the brain feeds, or the glymphatic system will feed the brain appropriately with glycogen, which is basically sugar stores, but also removes a lot of the fats and the proteins and the metabolic waste that's there. And if it's too busy doing other things, like digesting food, then you're not giving it the time to actually do what it needs to do. You're adding more garbage to the pile when it should be removing, cleaning it up.
You once said that Alzheimer's is diabetes on the brain. Does that play into this conversation?
It absolutely does. So one of the nicknames is type 3 diabetes, or diabetes of the brain, and we now know there's at least 37 different causes and triggers for Alzheimer's, and blood sugar dysregulation is one of them. And so when we see the glymphatic system not removing the sugars and the waste products properly, then there can be an inflammatory reaction. And we see the same thing in the body. The legs will swell, and when the brain glymphatic system swells just a little bit, it will have consequences to how you function. It may show up as not remembering why you walked in the room, or you may not remember people's names quite as well. And so there's a lot of different things that can start to happen when that system becomes congested. So blood sugar is just one of them. Your glymph system is actually what's supposed to help take away the beta amyloid plaques that come with Alzheimer's. So if your glymphatic system is congested or not working properly, that's when we see those plaques start to build up. So when your immune system becomes overloaded in the brain, that's when we start to see Alzheimer's. So there's 37 different things that cause that.
Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to talk about what we can do to help contribute to the health of our system, our glymphatic system, our lymphatic system. Remember when I worked in fitness a lot of years ago, they compared a sluggish lymph system to trying to squirt honey out of a squirt gun versus water versus honey. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you're putting junk and kind of muck in the river, so to speak, where you're asking your vessels to do something that they're not meant to do when you have just a trashy diet. So we're going to talk about how to care for the lymph system and the glymphatic system. I think I'm saying that right. And in a little bit, I want to talk to you about genetics. Predispositions don't mean a destination, that's automatic guarantee. Email or text your questions in. You can call as well. Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and I am blessed. I'm so grateful to have my friend and Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota, taking questions around health, general questions. And just to reset, this is just really important, that we're not diagnosing. And we say we because I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. So together, we're not diagnosing today. We're taking general health questions to help you move forward in the healing process, not to take place of advice from your personal doctor. That's really important because it's putting Dr. Troy kind of in an odd position. He can't see you. There's so much more information. We can't solve things in a matter of minutes, but we want to have general conversations about health and answer your questions. Call or text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. One listener says, I'm so excited to hear Dr. Troy back on Faith Radio. We are too. Thanks for that. All right. So this dear listener says, I'm a male, 63 years old, about 55 pounds overweight. I walk 3 to 4 miles a day. Excuse me. Recently, I'm feeling a bit drained, tired. Know I need to lose weight, but how an evaluation would help him get back on track? He only gets about 5 to 6 hours of sleep. And now, again, he's saying, if I were to go into your clinic, I know there'd be a big rundown. And just, I'm going to just say this. There's a form on the Synapse website where it takes about 45 minutes to fill out. Very important information that you and your team of doctors will go through and assess before they even get there. You can pick it up from there and then answer his question if you like.
It's a lot of the, there are a lot of scenarios. We're all unique, and so we'll talk a little bit about that when we touch on the genetic uniquenesses. But I'm going to talk about this as far as just generally the different things that cause weight and what people can do to help with that. So generally speaking, the first thing we always look at is calorie in, calorie out. And what that means is just pay attention to what you're eating and where those calories are coming from. People sometimes are surprised how much they're actually eating. There's a lot of hidden calories in liquids like juices and shakes. One Starbucks coffee could be a full day's meal for some people, just an FYI. And if you're doing that every single day, you're getting about 3,000-4,000 calories. One of my favorite questions to ask people is, how many calories do you think you're consuming? And then when we actually do a deep dive, they find out that they missed it by almost 80%. So they'll say, I think I don't eat a lot. So it's around 1,200 calories a day, and they're up around 4,200, and they had no idea. So calorie in, calorie out. The exercise, the walking is awesome, especially as we get into our 40s, 50s, and 60s. We want to keep moving. Motion is life, and motion, movement, muscle contraction helps to push the lymph system that we were just talking about. That's actually what helps create the speed of that river system. So we have to keep moving. Funny enough, for the brain, the glymphatic system, it's not motion that does it. It's actually the constriction of the arteries and so the blood vessels. So movement doesn't have anything to do with it. It's basically the pulsation of the blood flow while we're sleeping that controls the ability to detox. So blood pressure and regulating that and all the things that play into that help with the glymphatic system more than the movement. Also, there are very key things. As we age, we generally lose the ability to break down foods as well. We don't have as much stomach acid. Some of the things that really become deficient in are magnesium, iodine, calcium, and B12. And B12 is needed. It's a very important hormone for us to break down carbohydrates. So even if you're eating the right amount of calories, if you're not able to use them as efficiently as you did back in your 20s and 30s, we'll notice that you become a little bit more sluggish. And so many people will start to gain weight because they're not using the carbs for energy like they were. Generally speaking, as we age, we want to make sure we're under 100 grams of carbs a day and really make sure our B12 levels are where they should be. Nothing improves our overall well-being, including with weight loss, than good quality sleep. Mm. And so the sleep is what restores us. When we're in rest and digest, then we make the enzymes needed for the digestive system. One of the other scenarios that really goes undetected is hidden infections. So a lot of people don't realize they've got these low-grade bacterial imbalances, yeast, fungal imbalances, and those things will curb your ability to lose weight quite a bit. So especially a little increase in fungus. We all have a little bit of fungus among us all the time. But sorry, I made myself laugh there.
That was not right. That was hilarious. He's like, nobody else is laughing at that.
No one else laughed.
Did you miss that? It's so funny.
So cleaning up, identifying and cleaning up those infections are really, really important. And so in general, the only other thing that tends to become not quite right is as we age, we lose the ability to make stomach acid, which tends to cause an increase of acid in the rest of the body. When acid builds up in the body, it starts to dampen the effectiveness of hormones. So our hormones work at 50% efficiency in an acidic environment. Mm. So as we age, the one thing that's common across the board is we become more and more acidic. And so we want to make sure we remove those acids because the hormones will start working better. Our thyroid, even though they may be normal on the lab values, is not working as efficiently because you're bathing the hormones in an acidic environment. The receptors and hormones can't work as efficiently. It's kind of like pulling the oxygen out of the room and then asking you to do the same amount of work. You're not going to be as effective.
You say, too, women who carry a lot of weight in their hips are almost always estrogen toxic or overload, right? Have an kind of a reserve that they shouldn't have?
Yeah, the body gives us so many clues, and where we carry our weight tells us a lot. If the weight is in the hips on the sides a little bit more, that's more estrogenic weight. If it's a little bit behind, that's actually colon toxicity. If it's in front, we're dealing more with cortisol and stress issues. If it's in the arms, then that's a lack of male hormones if it's on the back, and then up by the pecs, it's a lack of the female hormone. So we can start to get a sense of what's wrong just based on where we carry that weight. If it's back by your shoulder blades, funny enough, that's insulin resistance and a diabetic, pre-diabetic type of scenario. So it's quite fascinating when you look at the body, and you can start to put these pieces together. But the hormones is another big factor, and we see it pretty commonly. We get a little bit older. We don't sleep as well. And by the way, the glymphatic system by itself regulates the circadian cycle, the circadian rhythm. So when that breaks down from eating too much sugar, from hidden infections, from things that affect our blood-brain barrier, then we start to see sleep become compromised. And then that causes the digestive consequences, causes the acid consequences, causes the hormone consequences.
One of the ways to balance some of the pH apple cider vinegar, and are there other ways as well? Maybe speak to that if you would.
Yeah, so funny enough, apple cider vinegar is what you take to help with the stomach pH. So it balances the body pH by actually improving how the cells of the stomach work and release acid. The other thing that's really important with that is zinc is really, really important for making stomach acid. So especially with gentlemen, if they are gaining weight, if they're having any type of prostate problems and they're seeing problems with the low stomach acid, they'll see stomach acid and prostate issues start to come up, and they're both zinc dependent. One way to tell if you have a pretty significant zinc deficiency is if you have white marks on your fingernails. That's one telltale sign of zinc deficiency. So there are a lot of clues, again, that the body starts to give us in that. Apple cider vinegar is a great resource for people to start taking. We do say mix it in water, because if you take it straight up, it can burn a little bit. But it's a really good one to help with the stomach acid. And a lot of people, as they age, if they're unable to make the stomach acid, that is a really good option to replace it, to help break down the food. Another way you can tell if you don't have enough stomach acid is if you eat meat, especially red meat, and it just kind of sits there as heavy on your stomach. That's one way to tell us that you're not actually producing enough stomach acid.
Any other ways to bring that acid level down?
Sleep.
Yeah, really? Wow.
Yep. So sleep helps improve our acid levels. Physical exercise during the day helps with it. Not getting into fight or flight. So stress management helps with that quite a bit. And we knew from research at Harvard that just meditation and prayer does more for your stomach than many other things. And, and really what that was doing was decreasing our internal stressors. And people really don't understand just what happens when we get into modes of worrying. And at our clinic, we have a saying, worrying is a misuse of your imagination. When we worry, we create a stress response, and if you're in that stress response, you've now stopped. You've literally put up a hand saying stop for the part of the brain to support the digestive system.
Wow.
So when you stress eat, you're doing both. You're basically telling your brain to stop supporting your digestive system while at the same time putting in food that is not usually the best.
Wow.
We rarely go to broccoli when we stress eat.
Indeed. We may have to revisit that on the other side of the break. Also, when we come back, I want to talk with you about just what's worked for me, some supplements, because I battled insomnia my whole life pretty much, and I'm finally now sleeping and dreaming. You can't heal without getting consistent, steady sleep. It's an answer to so many things. We'll explore maybe some of those. I see a number of calls in who want to be off the air but have questions, comments. You can text them in as well, 877-933-2484. You can email middays@myfaithradio.com, middays@myfaithradio.com. So we've got lots to talk about, and we're going to do it. We'll be back in just a moment. For tuning to Middays. Have I said how much I love my producers? I can always count on Kim to dance with me when the bumper plays. I appreciate you, Kim, so much. We've got Dr. Troy in studio, and we're calling these segments Healthy Living with Dr. Troy, taking questions. And just again, a reset, just got to say this for a number of reasons, that he's not here to diagnose your situation over the phone. This advice and insight and, you know, just conversations we're having, really to help you know, explore the idea of health, healing, the process, but not to take the place of what your doctor is telling you. You want to make sure, because it's really impossible for him to diagnose something over the phone without seeing you. So, but there's so much to know about preventative health, and that's what we're here to talk about today. 877-933-2484. Roberta is on, calling from Champlin, Minnesota, with a question for you today. Hey, Roberta, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Hi. My question is, I've been hearing a lot about vitamin K2, MK7 being good and putting calcium where it belongs in the body. And I was wondering if vitamin K2 can cause blood clotting or, you know, especially if you have had a PE twice in the past and have a factor 5 deficiency from one of my parents. My doctor doesn't know the answer to that. I'm not on a Coumadin or warfarin.
I'll kind of speak in generalities here, but vitamin K2 is the more active form of vitamin K, and so it is involved with clotting, and really it's all about balancing things out. So vitamin K2, they have found, is really important, especially with vitamin D and calcium, like you said, as far as the laying down of bone and a couple other physiologic processes. And it's really important if you're doing any type of taking vitamins, it sounds like you're actually pretty educated on it, because the blood thinners are what you have to balance out. So there are natural blood thinners and there are natural clotting factors. We need both of them. So there are certain vitamins we can kind of get away with that are water soluble, that if it's too much of them, we kind of pee them out, not a big deal. Vitamin K is one of those ones where you have to make sure that things are balanced out pretty well with your blood thinners. For example, fish oil is a blood thinner. So with your history and what you relayed there, many people who have that, they can still take the vitamin K, they can still take the natural blood thinners, but you have to look for the signs. For blood thinning, it's a lot easier to manage, because you'll start to bruise when you'll wake up with bruises and not know where they came from. That's a sign that your blood's a little too thin. But with vitamin K and the blood, the ones that help with the clotting factors, it's a little bit different when you're getting into the excess side of it. So a little harder to manage. So a lot of doctors, unless they're taking your INR and checking things, it's a little harder to give a definitive answer on that. But it definitely is involved with the clotting. And there really isn't a good way to get an early sense of if there's clots there, other than the fact that you'll get some numbness and or some tingling in the affected area. But a lot of other things cause that. So my general rule of thumb is to just monitor with blood work. And when coupled with vitamin D and calcium, the doses are pretty low. Doing anything high dose, though, is very, very questionable. And again, work with your doctor as far as the blood work, and they'll be able to tell your risk and likelihood.
Thank you, Roberta, for that call. What about when you've got a young son wondering about bedwetting?
So bedwetting, generally speaking, we want to look at how well are they delivering oxygen to the brain. The majority of young bedwetters, number one, it can be a sleep disorder. We do see that certain sleep disorders will have the kids actually sleep through the scenario. Kids can have night terrors, and if you just hear the word terror, you can understand why they may have an accident at that time and in a not so developed urinary bladder system. But the most common cause, especially after the age of 2-3 years of age, is a lack of oxygen, either because their tonsils are enlarged and literally are blocking off the airway.
Interesting.
Or there is an actual compromise in the airway called upper airway resistance syndrome. So a lot of times, there are many different ways to correct that. Chiropractors will adjust the cranials and the head and neck. Other therapists will actually induce oxygen flow and breathing techniques. There are other techniques that you retrain the system, where you wake them up throughout the night. And that's more of an undeveloped system where the brain's not speaking to the bladder quite right. Another one is inflammation. So anytime we have inflammation from certain foods, that can cause swelling of our airways and our sinuses. And that's one that we can generally take care of. The most common culprit is dairy, unfortunately. And so dairy, for people who are reactive to it, it can cause a little swelling, and then there's bedwetting. So the easiest one to work with, actually, is to remove dairy and then maybe other foods one at a time and see if there's a change in the bedwetting. And then hidden infections, whether it be in the sinuses, even in the digestive tract, those hidden infections can cause a swelling as well, not just with the tonsils, but in the airway.
Imagine the relief that that child would feel once they get some answers and get those things taken care of. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's yes, like absolutely.
If this is happening to them and they don't know why and they realize there's an answer for them, I mean, wow.
One of my favorite memories is of a six-year-old coming in right through the front doors screaming, I'm dry, and high-fiving me in front of everyone.
Oh, bless his heart.
Mom just kind of put her heads in her, yes. in her, her head in her hands and said, that's my boy.
Yes. Way to go, dude. Okay, here's one we're going to step on a few toes, and my toes are being stepped on. I have one cup of organic coffee every morning, one, and I love it, and I love it. Did I just say that? I have heard recently, though, that's antioxidant effect. It's good to prevent Alzheimer's. But I know, so how much caffeine in coffee can affect acid balance. So there you go. What do you want to say?
So it's a great question because coffee is very, very unique. It is acidic. So it can cause a really negative acidic reaction in the body. But it can also be very, very good for us. So like you said, there's antioxidant properties. Research has shown that it does help prevent Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, actually.
Wow.
So a lot of Parkinson's, if you have the genetics predispositions for that, coffee is good. But it's got to be clean. So organic is important because if you're adding chemicals in with something, your immune system is going to react to that. And then you've just negated the good properties
right.
of it. So the cleanliness does matter. The other part of it is caffeine can trigger a neurologic response. And if you have a lot of stress or anxiety, caffeine is not the best thing for you because caffeine blocks the ability to actually detoxify adrenaline out of the body. So certain people that are having a hard time getting to sleep shouldn't do any caffeine. Certain people are having a hard time with anxiety shouldn't do caffeine. And if caffeine can be a stimulant to our digestive system, which can be helpful in some cases, but if you overdo it, it can actually cause inflammatory reactions. So you have to know your body. So many times, and trust me, I'm fighting for you on this one.
I feel it.
Yes. Many times people have to give it up. And I will just say this. If you give up coffee and you get a headache, a withdrawal, it means you're consuming too much of it. If you give up coffee and you feel better 3 days later, then it's not working for you. It doesn't mean it'll never work for you, but it means that you need to take breaks from it. So coffee is one of those things where I really feel most people need to take breaks, and you need to know what is your limit. For some people, that's one cup a day. For some people, it's two cups a week. For some people, they can get away with three cups in one day and be fine. Generally speaking, I've never met a person who's had a pot a day who's doing okay in the long run. And the thing about coffee is it'll cause the bile duct to get a little inflamed, and that will start to shut down your ability to release stomach acid properly. So it causes that sour stomach feeling or that indigestion feeling when it's overconsumed.
Why can some people drink it at night and still go to sleep?
Yeah, that's not good.
Not fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna out my wife here. She's one of those who could do that. She doesn't all the time. But that generally... There's two sides to that conversation, too. So some people who their adrenals have kind of burnt out and they don't release the adrenaline, they can get away with that. That's the unhealthy
version of it. And it's not a good thing,
And it's not a good thing,
yeah.
The other people can actually metabolize the caffeine so quickly. They can do it very, very quickly. So there are people who actually break it down and they like the taste of it and it'll give them a little bit of mental clarity for an hour, but then they're done. So mm-hmm. they don't get the bang for the buck in the morning like other people do. Some people,
right.
like if I drink a cup of coffee at 9 a.m., that actually keeps me up at nighttime.
Me too, yeah.
And so that, I'm different. My wife can have it at 9 p.m. and beat me to the pillow. I mean, she can just...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I have it about 5 in the morning, but I'm even convicted listening to you. I'm going to go down to a half cup, I think. I'm not getting rid of it altogether. I'm just saying.
Not asking.
Yeah. See, we have an understanding here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did promise that I would talk about what's helped me with sleep, and this has been through much trial and error and conversations with the doc here. And again, everybody's different, so this is not prescribing over the air, but just to give you some hope. But, you know, they're supplements. It's not medicine. I'm not taking medicine to sleep. But magnesium, as you say, magnesium, we need magnesium. And so I take a good amount of magnesium before I go to bed, something called GABA, and then some melatonin, because walking through SIRS, that's what I have, chronic inflammatory response, and my melatonin was depleted. That was so hard for me to get my mind around, that I have to take some things before I go to bed. But I've learned they're actually good for me. Like, magnesium is actually contributing to my health, and I'm sleeping and dreaming, and once in a while I may wake up, but most of the time I'm sleeping. I've never been able to say that.
Yeah, and getting people to sleep deeply through the night, which basically means that you remember your dreaming. You don't have to remember your dreams per se, but you remember that you dreamt. You wake up feeling refreshed. You have energy throughout the day, meaning you could go without taking a nap if you had to. Those are signs that you're sleeping properly. And for you, there are many different things, but magnesium, again, when stomach acid becomes compromised, magnesium is one of the things that we don't absorb, and that's involved with 400 different enzyme processes in the body. And to create melatonin, it is B6 dependent and magnesium, and a lot of our B6 comes from our gut. And so as we see this compromise with people not having healthy digestive systems, we see it eventually affect the brain. And so they call the digestive system, the gut, the second brain for a reason. A lot of our neurotransmitters basically are made in the digestive system, or the ingredients that make them up in the brain, like GABA, serotonin, and dopamine, come from a healthy digestive tract. So we want to nourish that digestive system. And melatonin is the deep sleep hormone, and that's involved with a really key part of the process of staying asleep. And magnesium is involved with the helping of relaxing the brain and clearing out the dopamine and the adrenaline from the day. If we don't have those scenarios, we can't get into that restful mindset.
I want to make sure I highlight this that you said before the last break, because I think in case someone just hopped on and heard this, didn't hear it, it's important that you hear it. You say that when we worry, we're putting a stop sign up. Say this again, because I want to make sure I don't mess it up.
So when you worry, it's like a misuse of your imagination, and it's like putting a stop sign up to the rest and digest phase of our health. So worrying is like a stressor.
So you're telling your brain not to support your health.
Not to support your digestive system or your sleep system.
Okay, wow.
Because we're in fight or flight. That's like being chased by a tiger, and we're running away from danger. If you're chased by a tiger, it's a really bad time to take a nap or have lunch. So our brain doesn't support the sleep system or the digestive system, so we don't get the blood flow or nerve flow to our stomach and digestive tract. So most people, when they have that worry and that stress, if they're a stress eater, not only are you putting a stop sign on the nerves and nutrients going to your digestive tract, you're also now eating stuff, which generally is not good because we crave salt and sugar when we're stressed. And you're loading up that system. And now you're asking your stomach to break down food without getting the nerve or nutrient support. That's like me saying, Susie, I need you to work all day, 24 hours today, but I'm not going to feed you. We're just going to have you work the 24 hours. We don't work as efficiently or effectively.
And this is why I like to have these conversations, because there are so many things you and I can do to contribute to health. And I want you to tell yourself, every step I take towards healing and health matters. Every step you take towards healing and health matters. We need to pause here. When we come back, I see a lot of texts and calls coming in that we're trying to get to, but I want to make sure we talk about this genetic predisposition thing, because if you have a genetic predisposition to anxiety, to alcoholism, you know, sometimes I hear people buy into it as if that is like a warrant. You know, that's the declaration of their outcome. But it just means you have to work a little harder than somebody else. It does not guarantee the outcome. So I want to talk about, you might be handed a set of a genetic makeup, so to speak, because of choices in past generations and just the genetic wiring. But you can actually change some things for future generations by the choices you make. I think that's fascinating. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just fascinated listening to you. I'm like, I don't need to say anything else. Yeah, that was perfect.
It's amazing. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. No, wait a minute. Kim's moving with me. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. We've got Dr. Troy Spurl in studio. Thank you, Lord. We get to have him on once a month to answer your questions, to move you towards health and healing and the just the process of wholeness. There's so much preventative work you can do, so many tweaks you can make. I mean, like stop eating after dinner. That is so healing and healthy for your brain. It will help you sleep. Change how you frame your circumstances. Don't let yourself go to worry. There's just so many tweaks like that we can make that will make a world of difference. But Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose things over the phone. We're just giving general health and healing questions, answers, information. Lisa is checking in from Sykeston. I don't know if I'm getting that right. Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Is that your last name or your city? How are you doing today?
That's a city. That's Sykeston.
All yeah. right. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. Get a question for Dr. Troy.
I do. I have a lot of trouble with restless leg syndrome. It got to the point where I can't even sit in the afternoon. So they started me on, you know, several different medications, and they would slowly stop working. And right now, the one that I'm taking is for like Parkinson's, and I can tell that it's getting close to where that is starting to not work anymore either. I do take magnesium malate because I have fibromyalgia also. And I do have a degenerative disc disease in my lower back. So does any of that relate to it or?
Yeah, they all do. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about what I know about restless leg as far as what we've seen. Now, in our world, and I'm talking about functional medicine, we classify restless leg as a sleep disorder. And for those who don't know what it is, it's basically while you're asleep at night, your legs are moving, and it can actually disrupt your sleep. People can start to have all kinds of discomfort. I will say this. Every single person we've assessed with fibromyalgia has a sleep disorder. The most common one is upper airway resistance syndrome, and the reality is restless legs can come from a couple different scenarios. Generally speaking, it's a lack of oxygen getting to the brain again. So very similar to our earlier call about the bedwetting with the child, an adult version of lack of oxygen is acting out your dreams. And so some people might be getting into deep sleep. Some people never get there. So restless leg is basically you're trying to move the legs, or your legs are moving by themselves. You're not trying. And that can come from a sleep disorder, and it can also come from what we were talking about earlier, lymphatic congestion. And we actually see both with the problem of fibromyalgia. Now, the low back is something that is also very, very important. If your low back is off, it can influence how much nerve and blood supply go to the legs. Again, to move the lymph, we talked about earlier how it's important to get the muscles contracting. If there's lymph congestion in the legs, then you want to get those muscles moving. Now, in some people with fibromyalgia, they actually do well with exercise and feel better. Those are the lymphatic people.
Wow.
The other people with fibromyalgia, when they exercise, if they feel worse, it means they have a buildup of their lymph and they can't clear it out, so the acids are too high. The first thing you have to fix is the sleep disorder part of this. The second thing you have to address is the lymph system. And so there's so many layers to this, but generally speaking is if we can get on top of the sleep disorder, and then if the back is involved with the inability to clear the lymph, clear that out. And just like we spoke earlier, if you have low stomach acid and or an infection in the intestinal tract, that will lead to high body acid. Many of our fibromyalgia patients have an inability to clear those acids out. That's why their nerve endings and muscles and ligaments will be painful in key areas. And so figuring out, improving the digestive system, improving the sleep system, and then the mechanisms of clearing out the lymph system in the legs is very, very key. Some people will need either B12, iron, or both. So, and the reason is because both of those minerals are very, very important for making of hemoglobin, which delivers oxygen. So there's a lot of people with restless leg syndrome that have just a low-grade anemia with the sleep disorder. So many, many factors there, but just know that a lot can be done. There's layers to this, especially if you have already three different markers. But generally speaking, most people with fibromyalgia, there's always a mental, chemical, and physical component to it. You have to address all three, peel back the layers, and then build off of that. And eventually, just like what Susie was talking about, it took a long time to get to the level of sleep that you're at right now. It can take years, unfortunately, to get the right level of deep sleep going, to get the true healing in the body. And nothing improves the healing process better than how God designed us in the first place. So if we can get you sleeping deeply like you were meant to, then that's when we see the true healing start to occur.
All right. I want to spend these next few minutes, because we've been promising this, talking about genetic predispositions, choices that we make, and our faith, how our faith plays into that. It is amazing how often we accept a sentence that's against us, so to speak. It runs in the family, right? And we don't contend and believe for something different. But also, you know, the idea that, you know, you've got a predisposition towards something, you may have to work harder, you know, but that's the way it is. So speak to that whole idea.
Yeah, I have seen that. And I actually, at this point, instead of looking at saying, why me, looking at it eventually, I hope you all get there, looking at it with the gratitude that this is what God gave you, because I believe our genetics are like a contract with God. He basically made us a certain way, and we see that the types of genetics that we have, there's predispositions there, and now we know, we've measured them, we call them SNPs, S-N-P, but to have a SNP, it has to be different, has to be similar change with over 1% of the population, and they classify it as a SNP. And what that means is, within our DNA, there's uniquenesses there to us that may make it a little bit harder for us to break down caffeine, like we talked about, or break down hormones. And because of that, there will be consequences to that. So the more we learn about ourselves, what works for us, the more we can make choices and turn that gene on or off. It's not a hardwired gene. The truth is, it is 100% part of our environment internally, and our external environment and our choices dictate that. If we're aware, we can actually stay on top of it, make different choices, and truly influence our genes and our genetic predisposition. And even though you might have a strong genetic predisposition for Parkinson's or MS, it doesn't mean it's going to play out that way. And there's a lot of influence we have over that, and most of it boils down to our choices we make in life. And not just our choices. We now know that the choices we make influences our grandchildren's DNA SNPs.
Wow.
They will change based on the choices we make.
Wow. And when I, you know, when you hear people say, well, my mom was a worrier, my grandma was a worrier, so I'm a worrier, you know, or MS runs in the family, I think we have to be so careful, and please don't take this as a name it, claim it thing, but there is power. You're speaking out of your heart, and if your words are constantly declaring a sentence over your life, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're meant to guard our thoughts. And we've mentioned this before, and I was just going through a few things for the show here, and I found this quote that we had said before. It's, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, they determine your destiny.
Hmm.
That's our genes. That's the choices we make. And God made us and designed us that way. And I think that's how we are meant to learn for us, how we actually become very, very much in love with God, more in love with God. Because once we understand what he's done for us, because if we have everything given to us, it doesn't have any value. When we have to work for it, there is so much value.
Amen.
There. And when we have genetic uniqueness that we have to work for to become the best of who we are meant to be for God, there's so much value and learning in that. And not only do we just have a true appreciation and love for God, we value ourselves.
Yeah.
So guarding our thoughts and taking care of what God gave us and paying attention to it instead of ignoring it is really one of my passions as far as how I feel people can help themselves.
Well, there's a grace too, I feel like I'm better for the battle. There's a grace to battle against the weaknesses. And let the weak say, I am strong. That's what the Bible says. And I'd like to revisit this even a little bit more, because there's hope for us. And yet that means we have a part and that God has a part. And if we're more attached to our labels than we are to our potential, we'll be in trouble. But I just want you to imagine, let's say you've got this genetic, you know, pathway flowing through the generations. What if it stopped with you and you said, not on my watch, not for me, not for my kids, and not for my grandkids? I mean, that is possible, isn't it?
100% possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you for the time today. And friends, I know we had lots of people text in. We weren't able to get your questions. We've already got a date with Dr. Troy for next month. And if Jesus doesn't come back, Dr. Troy's going to be here. I'm just saying. But if he comes back to get us, Well, I'll be better for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for the time today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate you listening too. Thanks so much for my great producers, Kim Sanders and Carissa Rogers, who make every day brighter, every show better. Thanks to you, my dear listener. We always appreciate this and appreciate doing the journey with you. Hope you found some encouragement here today. And don't forget to email questions. I'll try to save those for a later show if you want to, middays@myfaithradio.com. Have a really great day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.